In the name of Jesus, amen. The Apostle Paul writes, "Rejoice, Lord, always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." This is the word of the Lord for us. Thanks be to God. We believe Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he writes these words. He writes to the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. God never asks us to do something that he doesn't equip us to do. And so if we are given the direction to be joyful, that means it's possible. You can choose to be joyful. You can make that choice to be joyful. Just like you can make the choice to be thankful, you can make the choice to be patient, you can make the choice to be more loving. Those things are all under your control. So conversely, when you are griping and complaining, it's because you choose to gripe and complain. When you are ungrateful, when you are impatient, it's because you've chose to behave in that way. Now, of course, we all find reasons to justify such things and to justify our behavior. But the word of the Lord says, rejoice in the Lord. May the Lord bless us as we hear his word today and remind us that in Christ we can choose to be joyful. God has created you with the ability to have control of how you think about such things. He grants you the mind of Christ. Does that mean that you can have joy even when things are not going your way? Yes. Does it mean you can be a more patient person? Of course. Does it mean that you can learn to have a more grateful attitude? Exactly. Well, how? And that's kind of the big question. Maybe you need to take a 6-week course, or maybe you need to read a certain book. No. What does Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord. And this is the same Lord that Paul has, that we have. Same Jesus. Same Jesus that Paul worshipped, that we worship. The same Jesus that redeemed and loved Paul is the same Jesus that redeems and loves you. The Apostle Paul has been accused of many things. Some people don't like his writing style. Some people don't like what he writes about women and accuse him of being a male chauvinist. Some don't like his straightforward approach to human sexuality, but no one could accuse Paul of being joyless. Joy permeates his writing and his attitude. And we have to ask the question, why? Why is this man so joyful in his writing and following of Jesus? Well, let's approach this backwards and say what his joy is not based upon. His joy is not based upon his circumstance. His circumstances were often terrible. He got chased from town to town for preaching the gospel. He was beaten up. He was shipwrecked. He was put in prison, all for following Jesus. And yet, what do we hear him write today? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul was in prison when he wrote that. He doesn't write about how the conditions were so horrible. He writes to those who were reading his letters, telling them to rejoice in the Lord. We read Paul's other writings, he takes it even further. He wrote to the Roman Christians, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings." Now, who says that? Rejoice in your sufferings? Paul is not the only one to write that way. In the book of James, James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." And Peter writes, "But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings." That's 180 degrees opposite of the way we typically think about joy. We've been brainwashed by our culture when it comes to the topic of joy. Because what does the world tell us? The world tells us that joy is found in, well, having things. And so we spend our money to acquire things. Joy is found in going places, and so we go here and there and yonder, thinking that will give us joy. The world would tell us that joy is out there, and what you need to do is achieve it, find it, look for it, go after it. And so we're always chasing after that carrot, never quite seeming to find it. Yes, even many Christians come to be more like godless pagans when it comes to joy, thinking that joy is something out there. That's not what Paul writes. Now, Paul is not disregarding reality. He doesn't pretend that he's not in jail. He doesn't try to transport his mind to a higher plane or dimension. He writes, "Rejoice, Lord, always." Again, I will say rejoice. "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." The Lord is at hand, no matter what the circumstance. And where the Lord is at hand, there is one who stands for you with all authority and all power on your behalf. There is peace with God. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from His love. The sufferings of this present world are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. And on top of all of that is the promise of the bodily resurrection. Not even death can destroy the joy of a Christian. Now, it doesn't mean we're not sorrowful. It doesn't mean that we want to die, but it means that that's not the end, that we have the hope and promise, even in the midst of the most horrible circumstance, we have the hope and promise of the bodily, physical resurrection. That means security is ours in Christ. And it's not something we have to chase after. It's not something we have to go to the store and buy, or we have to earn enough money to acquire. It is given to you freely in Christ. And that's why Paul has joy and encourages his readers to rejoice, no matter what the circumstance. It is based on the promised certainty of God's word and his love for God's people. Paul is not saying, don't worry, be happy. He's not saying Jesus is going to solve all your problems. He's not saying Jesus is going to fix everything. What he is saying is that God transcends all circumstances. That he sent Jesus Christ to take away our sin and made us dead sinners alive in our baptism and continues to feed and nourish us with his word and sacraments. God sends Jesus to do what we could never do, and because of that, we have the promise of joy. You can practice that. You can practice that. The next time something doesn't go your way, and it'll probably be later on today, just tell yourself, you know what? I'm not going to let that bother me. I am going to choose to be joyful. You can make that choice. In the name of Christ, you can make that choice. You don't have to let yourself be affected by the outward circumstances, because in Christ you are redeemed, loved, forgiven, and saved. This time of the year, a lot of people like to watch Christmas specials on television, and maybe you're one of those people. And we often like to watch the same ones, and people have their favorites. Why do we do that? Why would we watch something again and again, something we've seen maybe half a dozen, maybe even a dozen times before? Well, you know, we might say it's part of our tradition, part of our family ritual. It's what we do, try to get in the spirit of the season, whatever that means. But I would suggest to you there's another reason. And the reason is, you know how it ends. You know how it ends. Now, the first time you watched it, you didn't know how it ended. And every show has some element of drama, and it might even be scary at parts. And then it gets resolved at the end, it has a happy ending, and wow, I like the way that turned out. And now, every time you watch that same show, you know how it ends. Pressure's off. You know how it goes. In a similar but even greater way, That's how it is for you in Jesus. Paul would remind us to rejoice because we know how it ends, regardless of what's happening now, because of what God has done for the Apostle Paul and what God has done for you in Christ. You can choose to have joy. How do we get there? Paul helps us even with that. Do not be anxious about anything. Doesn't leave any loopholes. Do not be anxious about anything. Doesn't say, well, don't be anxious unless you have these problems, then you can be anxious. No, he says, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All week long, the world, the culture, is trying to teach you how to think. We forget that. All week long, you're being bombarded by how to think, and even how to think about joy. We come to this place for a very brief time to hear that God would have us think a very different way, a way that He provides, a way that He directs, and a way that actually gives joy and peace and hope. And it is possible through His Word and sacraments. Paul doesn't direct us to our outward circumstances. He doesn't even direct us to ourselves, telling us to look within our hearts. He directs us to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Choose to be joyful. Turn your ears, your mind to Jesus and His promises for you, and you will find all of that and even more. In Jesus' name, Amen.